Thanks, Jim. The reason I'm wearing a jacket and Jim isn't is that he comes from the UK originally. He's still getting acclimatised, but doing fairly well. I just wanted to pick up on a few points and perhaps explain some of the other detail in the statement. And right at the end, because I know there's been a lot of interest in it, I just want to use a little bit of time to go through some of the detail of the upgrade of the Monash Westgate corridor, which is part of this entire integrated package. Just wanted to start by reminding us that the government also, apart from this statement, also produced a document called Linking Melbourne, the Metropolitan Transport Plan. And I say to people that whilst meeting our transport challenges is about the same ideas but the resources to implement them, a lot more of the basic thinking came out in this earlier document. So for those who are interested, you should revisit this, because the way we see it, the two go together. There's a whole lot of relationships in transport which, working collectively, working together, working with other parts of government, and more importantly, perhaps working with stakeholders, we think we understand reasonably well. Just a few numbers for you. The Commonwealth Games in Melbourne were, in a transport sense, seen by everyone to be a great success. When we look at what happened in the road network, generally there was only a 4% reduction in travel, and yet most people would say, didn't it work well? Now, obviously, on isolated parts of the network, there was a big increase, particularly around this area and the entertainment centres. But generally, Melbourne kept operating and did it very well, and I think we've all learnt a bit from the Commonwealth Games. So it proves to us that if you can integrate things and you can provide the right service for the right need, then Melbourne in particular can have a much better transport service. But one of the key things is to provide more public transport capability and more public transport capacity. Jim mentioned our 90% figure, that 90% of public transport relies on roads for its operation, obviously trams, taxis and buses making up that. So over the years we've collectively said road is not a mode. You actually didn't say that today, but
road is not a mode.
Now he has. And we should think of public transport, private transport, road, rail, and it's not just about commuters, it's also about the other uses of the networks, and particularly the use by business and freight vehicles. And we haven't forgotten those, but it is integrated. If we could move just 5 or 6% of commuters into public transport, we would have conditions like you have in Melbourne during the January school holidays. And everyone says, isn't it fantastic? I can get about much better. The difference is 5 or 6% of usage. Now, I'm not talking about the Boxing Day, New Year week, which is quite unusual, and it's a lot less. But I'm talking about that sort of mid to late January period where people say, wouldn't this be good? And it is possible with this statement now that the extra capacity is able to be built in. A few other areas that are very significant. Again, I'll just stick to the metropolitan area for the moment. Most of the growth, well over half, I suppose, of the population of Melbourne in the next 20 years or so will occur around the outer parts or the outer six growth areas or 11 municipalities. It's been recognised that there's been quite a backlog of infrastructure, road infrastructure in particular, And as Jim said, we are about to transform Melbourne's public transport network in that area by introducing orbital buses using smart technology, previously known and still known as smart bus. So there's a supporting investment of over $1 billion in improving roads in those areas, and one of the highest priorities clearly is to support those new bus routes. There are other priorities, and there are priorities to deal with congestion, to deal with safety, and to deal with freight movements. I guess the other thing that people will be aware of that's been happening again to recognise that we have to have an integrated system is that we have been connecting up the crosstown network, as we call it, which is not just the freeways but the major arterial roads, those routes that carry virtually everything except pedestrians and maybe cyclists, but those routes that need to carry public transport, need to carry freight, need to carry private business travel. And if you look at an arc around Melbourne, you'll see that not just the Geelong Road, but the Deer Park Bypass, which is now started and ahead of schedule, the Calder Highway in the last stages of development, the Tullamarine Calder Interchange, which appears on the radio every morning as a bottleneck, is way ahead of schedule and very soon will not hopefully be on the radio at all, and will make a huge difference to not just that part of the network but the whole network, because we know that there's added pressure on the Monash, on the Westgate Freeway, as people try to avoid other bottlenecks. So there are those links. But equally in Melbourne there's about 110 activity centres, the sort of strip shopping centre or other centre of intense development. And so in the statement there's a fivefold increase in the investment in bicycle facilities and in pedestrian facilities. The detailed strategy of that is being sorted out with local people. We'll need to be with the local governments that are relevant. But essentially there's going to be a major increase in those sorts of facilities as well. Now, you might say, so what? Is this not just a list of things that are nice to have? Well, the linkage there is if we can continue to plan Melbourne to actually reduce commuter travel and we can provide these alternative sources or facilities, then that is a good thing for Melbourne. That is a good thing for those who can't avoid the longer trips across town. In some of the earlier work, which resulted in the Metropolitan Transport Plan, there's information that we all discovered, I guess, that over decades now, the average time spent journeying to work has been about 30 minutes, and that's over decades. So people do choose to live and work in such a way that their travel time seems to be held fairly constant, as well as the improvements that can be made to the network. Safety, there's a major boost to safety in the document. I'm not sure all Victorians appreciate that in terms of investment in safety, Victoria does as much as the rest of Australia combined by two. We fortunately have the ability to reinvest our gains in safety back into the education and into the road networks, and so there's another nearly $600 million of that investment over the next 8 to 10 years, and that's on top of the $500 and something million that we're coming to the end of. So $1 billion in localised safety improvements is an important part of this whole package. Jim mentioned park and ride. We're working together to find not only the best places in such as station car parks to expand, but other sites which are upstream of of congestion where we can encourage people to move from a private vehicle to a more efficient tram or bus or train to complete the rest of their journey. So the more you look into this package, the more you should see that it is all tied together. It is about shifting those that can be shifted, who would find it advantageous to move modes, by providing improved facilities in public transport, providing better neighbourhoods, better activity centres, providing for freight, providing for efficient cross-town movements. And before we go into questions and answers, I might just do my little piece about the Monash Westgate corridor. Now, in terms of a major, obviously, road facility in this state, it is the major east-west connector, and you'll see that it connects some pretty serious sort of areas. Now, this map has got a lot of information on it, but essentially it shows in the pinkish colour the major industrial activity areas around Melbourne, clearly down in Dandenong, up in Somerton, and in the west, the port, and out towards Laverton, etc. And the other colour, the yellowy colour, are more minor but still pretty important sort of areas. And you can see that bottom very thick sort of red line is the Monash and Westgate corridor. So it does connect the port, and via the ring road connects most of the major industrial areas of Melbourne. And is there any wonder then that the growth on that is about three times the growth of traffic in Melbourne generally? If you look at the delays on the freeway network around Melbourne, by freeway network, you can see that sort of aqua colour down on the right-hand side of this diagram represents the total all-day vehicle hours of delay of the Monash Westgate freeway. Well, Monash is that colour, and the Westgate's the one on the red, in the red to the left-hand side of the diagram. So collectively, a pretty important route to deal with, and this statement provides about $1 billion to deal with that particular congestion. Now, just to put that in context for you, on the books, we have the Monash Westgate valued at $7.4 billion. That's the asset value of the existing facilities, including the bridge. For $1 billion, or a little less, the capacity of that route can be increased by 50%. So those of you who are in business would also recognise that to invest 15% of an asset's value and increase its utilisation or capacity by 50% is a pretty good investment. Again, the detail of this is available on websites, but essentially there are a number of areas that are being dealt with that large amount of resource. Starting from the western end, you've all heard that the Westgate Bridge, we can operate that a different way to increase the capacity in peaks. We're going to sort out that merging problem that occurs as you come off Bolte Bridge and want to head out to the southeast. You've got to cross a lot of traffic from the Ring Road and from Geelong. And that will be sorted out by building bridges to take one stream of traffic over the other. So that's a pretty crowded site to do that work in, but it will solve the problems. Then as we go to the next area, we have some work between the Bolte Bridge and the tunnels, and we have work that Transurban will be doing on the southern link of their particular facility. And then, without going into detail, further out to the east, it'll be a more classic widening of of the roadways by a lane each way. But I just wanted to really explain, and there's that investment summary, that $7 billion asset, 12% investment, 55% increase in capacity. But I just wanted to show you, I wanted to have a movie here to show you this, but instead that wasn't sort of technically possible in this venue. So what I've done is I just show you some real photographs or real images from the CCTV system that shows you just what can happen, and in fact what happens every day on that particular facility. I'll just flick through these, but if you look at the time, and this is a fairly typical day, but this particular day was in August last year, I think, 2:59 p.m., 100 km/h traffic. Looks fairly sparse, but when you're travelling at 100, it's still, if you're in the vehicles, it's fairly close together. 3 o'clock, it's 1 minute later. 3:01, 1 minute later. 3:02, 1 minute later. 3:03. 4 minutes. 4 minutes to get from one extreme to the other, and I'll show you a couple of graphs as to what that means. That's from the other direction. You're all familiar with it. Just having a look at this again, it's a fairly busy slide, but if you take the red line at the top, on the left-hand side we have volume per lane, or volume per roadway actually, and along the bottom we have the time of day, starting on the left-hand side at about 3 o'clock in the afternoon and towards the end coming to about 7 o'clock. And you can see that when the facility is running without that sort of stop-start turbulent flow, you get this sort of volume covered by the red line. Now these are actually measurements taken off the road, and so they're real figures. When we get a breakdown, as occurred in the 4 minutes later photograph, we get the green line. So we get a what we call a lost productivity of about 25%. And if I can show you the next couple of slides, a loss of about 2,000 vehicles per hour in 4 minutes on that facility. So where we were running it at maybe 8,000 vehicles an hour maximum, we suddenly dropped by two. If we just look at the speed reduction, this would be something you're aware of. Prior to that situation occurring, we have speeds of around about, and this is the right-hand side, if you can see it, is the speed graph, 90 to 100 kilometres per hour, you're all familiar with that. When that congested and turbulent flow occurs, the speed drops to around about an average of 30. Of course, it's sort of stop-start in a way, but that's really what happens, and it happens for about 2 hours, and that two-hour period is extending by about 10% per annum. So something really needed to be done. Now, part of the Monash upgrade includes a technology called ramp metering, and without going into the great detail of it, I'll just share with you how it works. A few years ago, we ran across this technology, particularly in the UK and in Europe, and we brought it to Melbourne to try it. And we first of all tried it on the Eastern Freeway leading out of the city at Bulleen Road. And there's various others around the place now, but you've all seen them. These are little traffic lights that you stop at on a ramp until there's a space created on the freeway next to you, and then the software automatically lets you in one vehicle at a time per lane. So if I turn to the next slide, you don't need to read the numbers, but the red line was the actual speeds on the Eastern Freeway near Bulleen Road before we put in the ramp meter. as you can see, that typical breakdown occurring, so speeds dropping from, you know, as low as 20 kilometres per hour. Put in the ramp meter, and again, these are all measurements straight off the inductor loops in the freeway, and that green line is the way that facility now operates. And the Monash project, well, perhaps we've got another one, the Monash project includes ramp metering of every ramp over a distance of 75 kilometres. Here's a travel time near Bulleen Road, and again the red line shows the travel time between Bulleen to Doncaster Road in seconds, and goes up to around about 150-160 seconds, so you could say 2.5 minutes. And the green line is once the ramp metering was switched on, the travel time drops by about a minute. Now, what does all that mean? It isn't sort of boys playing with toys on roads, but what it does mean is that we can get our cross-town network working like this. Then it takes the pressure off some of the other parts of the network, which allows us to make public transport and other vehicles operate better, and the whole thing works together. So in the statement you have all of those ideas based on the Metropolitan Transport Plan, and now with a lot of resource to back them up. Now again, this may be difficult for some of you to see, but this is the sort of facilities that they have in Europe, and most of those are now readily available in Melbourne. And it's a combination of lane control signals, a combination of vehicle messages that are linked to a dynamic system. We see the whole of 75 kilometres linked together with one piece of smart technology. You can see usage on the left-hand side there of what at other times might be emergency lanes, but the technology enables us to be able to use those, and you can see the pulling off area next to a telephone for those who need it. Lightweight gantries, and in effect managing the relationship between the vehicles and the road itself. And I often say that if the Romans invented roads, and if Henry Ford invented the vehicle, and those two had their eras, if you like, then I guess Bill Gates has given us the opportunity to make them work together, all as part of an integrated transport system. So just finishing on that, and without repeating, it's been a fantastic journey for Vic Roads to work with the Department of Infrastructure and others, and our people to work with Jim's people. And I guess the real big challenge for all of us is to deliver. Yep. Thank you.